KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to do our stick figure ticket giveaway, which I am excited about. I'm also excited about talking with Bruce Bochy, but right now we have to talk about the Stars, and that makes me still kind of sad. Let's go back to last night, back to game four. And I guess my question now is, you've seen elements of excellent play from the Stars across this series. Obviously, everyone's going to go back to the third period of game one, which, well, man, did that keep you from getting swept? Or you go back to the first period of game one yesterday, but then you look at the third period from both yesterday and in game three when the Stars could get absolutely nothing going in terms of even getting attempts at the net. I believe you had 7 shots on goal in those 2 third periods combined,
yeah.
Which means, just, I want to put that in perspective. That means once every 6 minutes or so, you got a shot on goal. That's insane.
Yeah, and that's not, they're not even quality shots.
No.
And that's frustrating too, because Kevin, last night, the shot that went in for Robertson, awesome that it happened. Did you notice how much time and space he had to get that shot off?
Sure.
There was nobody around. And Edmonton, for the most part, has limited time and space extremely for everybody on the ice. And the Stars, I think that third period comeback win woke Edmonton up. And they were like, we will never let that happen again. Yeah. I really do think that they're in a different mindset because of that. And we thought that they'd collapse because of it. But they're a mature team. And honestly, I thought last night the Stars were going to hang in it maturely and be able to overcome. I really did think, because of the way they were playing last night, it was 2-1. I was like, they're going to steal this game the way they've done before. And then it was the Granlund penalty. The Granlund penalty that he got, where his stick got caught up in the skate. That one was like, it was unfortunate. I hated the call. I get it. I hated it. And it was a time where the Stars looked like, all right, we're about to give everything we got.
Yeah.
And then that fell apart on them. So that is frustrating that the shots that they're getting off aren't quality. And then there's not a lot of space to do a lot of work within that.
Look, I kind of bounce back and forth between trying to convince myself that they can win this series, they being the Stars, because they've got 2 out of the last 3 games are at home. And so I was like, if you can just figure out a way to win game 6, but that in and of itself is a very flawed line of thinking.
You got to win game 5.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you go back to the last time you played Edmonton in the AAC, you got smoked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you lost that game. I don't know if that's an official category, but like, it wasn't a game that went down to the wire. Like, you fell behind, you lost. The game in the third period was never particularly in question. And that's what I have to deal with, because the more logical way to look at it is, if you take out the third period of the first game, you have done nothing offensively in this series.
Except for pull your goalie a lot.
True.
Like, I feel like you've done that a lot.
They scored so fast on both those empty netters.
So I asked you this the other day. I went and looked up some information to try and add to this conversation.
Okay.
How often does it work when it comes to pulling your goalie?
Yeah.
I found this little thing from bigthink.com.
That sounds reputable.
They're big and they think.
Yeah.
It was a 2018 study is what it was, from a new NYU math professor and a hedge fund manager.
Oh.
They took data from a 2015-16 NHL season to build their model. Probability of scoring goals with a goalie in place, probability of scoring with the goalie pulled for an extra attacker, probability of scoring with a goalie in place but the other team has pulled their goalie for an extra attacker, and goal differential and time remaining in the game. The pair calculated that on average, each NL team at full strength has a 0.65% chance of scoring a goal in any 10-second interval in a game.
Oh,
so you have a 0.65% chance of scoring at any point in the game.
So you project that, if you're like, if I can pull this off for a minute, That ups me to like 4%.
The scoring probability jumps to 1.97% when a team pulls its goalie.
Oh,
so you go from 0.65 to almost 2% chance of scoring whenever your goalie is.
So essentially three times as likely.
And it jumps to 4.3% when a team retains its goalie, but the other team pulls theirs. So Edmonton has had a 4.5% chance. They've had about 2% chance more than the Stars every time the Stars have pulled their goalie of scoring. And guess what's happened? Edmonton's taking advantage of it.
But you're to the point where you're like, well, guess what? 5-on-5 doesn't work for us, so we got to do something,
doesn't
right?
Doesn't it seem like there was just somebody that was like, hey, look, we're not doing any good at anything else. Let's try it. And that seemed to be the way, and I don't even know if it's a... Is that small of a percentage enough for you?
I think so, because that's one way to look at it. But on the flip side, like I said, if you're crunching the numbers, you see it go up three times. So if you're like, hey, it could be 2%, it could be 3.9%. That doesn't sound good. But what if I told you this, Corey? Hey, you know, if we pull our goalie, we're three times more likely to score a goal. Then you're like, well, holy crap.
Yeah.
Let's freaking go.
Yeah. The question, somebody did say, the question isn't why would you pull your goalie? Because if it's even a 5% chance, why wouldn't you?
Sure.
You know, it's more about the mind thinking of desperation. And quite honestly, the Stars, Kevin, should be desperate at this point.
Yep.
They should have been desperate at last point, and you saw it last night. They played early in the game looking like they were desperate. Late in the game looking like they were desperate and had no control. That's what that last night's game, late in the game, they had no control and were desperate. Early, they were desperate and skating with purpose. They were just getting beat by the better team.
And they did exactly what I hoped they would in the first period, and that was, I think, now it's not the same as shots on goal, but I think just shots they took in the first period, they had 36. They were taking a shot almost every 30 seconds. And they weren't all on goal, but that was one of the things that we talked about. Just throw the puck up at the net, see if Skinner can stand up to the scrutiny, and to his credit, unfortunately, he did.
Yeah.
And he has in this series. Now, one of the players we haven't talked about a whole lot is Mikko Rantanen. We talked about Jason Robertson, by the way. I was really rooting for the Stars to score anyway, but I was really hoping that Robertson would score again because I said he'd have two goals. He'd score a goal, so second straight game with a goal.
You're so close.
First straight game with a real goal. And look, Jason Robertson in the game before said he didn't even know he had scored that goal technically until after the game was over. And so you've seen him pick it up, but Mikko Rantanen, you've seen he has the ability to hang with Draisaitl, to hang with McDavid. The difference in their stature as players is because Mikko is far more likely to just disappear than either one of those two. And that is what you've seen in this series, is Mikko has disappeared.
Yeah. No, and it's frustrating because going into it, we thought we had the match. We thought we had McDavid is their guy. This is our guy. They don't square up against each other, you know, that's one thing that obviously, but we thought, hey, at least if their guy does something, our guy can say, well, I'll do it too.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been capable. I don't know if it's what Edmonton's doing to him or what Edmonton might be doing to the other guys around him that's making it. It does seem like they're a lot more physical with him. And there's nobody to match that because he's the big moose, right?
Yeah.
He's supposed to be able to take these things on himself.
So I have a thought about a potentially bold strategy for game 5 because your back's up against the wall. Why not just amp up the aggression that next level? And I don't necessarily mean physical aggression with the hits. I mean in terms of pushing forward even harder. The downside to that is obviously that has the potential to play right into what Edmonton likes to do on their counterattack. My argument would be, well, you're not scoring any goals anyway. So why not just take that next extra step and try to push it forward even harder?
I'm with you, dude. Go push that.
It has the potential to blow up in your face, of course.
For sure it does. From the 561, Hyman is getting surgery and out for the playoffs.
Yep. We talked about that.
I didn't know the surgery thing was happening.
Yeah, I didn't know about the surgery either, but we talked about it at the top of the show that he was probably done for this series. But if he's going to be out for the rest of the playoffs, Hopefully that won't matter to Edmonton. But that's going to be very problematic for them going up against a physical Florida team. Unless you
unless the Stars win it, Kevin. What if the Stars win it?
I know, that's what I said. That's what I said. Hopefully it won't matter for them whatsoever.
But what?
It could.
What? See, dude, your faith, your lack of faith in this team.
I am the one who just at the beginning of this segment said, Alec, I still think the Stars can win this series.
Alec.
Corey.
When we made predictions for this series, you said Stars in how many?
Six.
I said Stars in seven.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin
Alec's
said,
already proven to be wrong.
Kevin said Edmonton in six. You've wanted Edmonton to win this whole time.
No.
Because you want to be right. More than you want to be happy.
There was a time in my life that I agree with that. But that time is not now. I don't make the predictions based on warm, fuzzy feelings.
Wow.
I make the predictions based on the cold, hard facts in front of you.
You and Cynthia Freeland.
And I hope that I'm wrong. I hope that Corey is right. I very much hope that Corey is right and the Stars win in seven.
Six. Oh, yep.
No.
It'd be awesome if they were able to do that.
That would defy statistical logic as well.
I know, but it would be awesome.
Okay.
And if you can't admit that, then you never were a Stars fan.
We'll admit that for the first time the NHL retroactively looks back at a game and you're like, you know what? Let's go back to game three. You guys really did get jobbed on that no penalty call at the first little bit, and that immediately led to Edmonton's two goals. Listen, we're just going to replay that game. We're going to start over on the power play. In the first period.
But yeah, you guys are the only ones that get a power play. Here's one goal. Next goal wins.
Yeah.
Is what we're going to do. And you guys are on a power play. They're shorthanded by two, by the way.
Oh, just to really make up for it?
Yeah. Just to really put some emphasis on it.
All right. Well, look, I still hope that the Stars can win this series. There's a part of me that still believes that they can win this series. And you know what? Coming up next, see if we can put our money where our mouth is. Which of the four conference finals, which are all at 3-1, is most likely to end with a comeback? That and Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy. We'll get it going next right here on The Fan.
8 seconds to shoot. Near corner McConnell, back to top and right edge, on top to Halliburton. Here comes a long, 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 long three.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. All four of the conference finals are 3-1 right now. So the two in the NBA, OKC, can close it out tonight against Minnesota. They're up 3-1. Indianapolis is up 3-1 on the Knicks. Obviously, in the Stanley Cup side, you're probably very familiar with the fact that Edmonton is up on the Stars 3-1, and Florida can close out their series against the Hurricanes tonight. They're also up 3-1. I tell you right now, one of those teams is going to come back and win in seven. Don't tell me what you hope happens. Tell me what you think is most likely to happen.
One of those teams comes back to win in seven.
Correct.
This one's tough because I want to say the Knicks.
That's what I think it is the Knicks.
Because I've seen one Jalen Brunson have games where you're just like, he absolutely took over.
Sure.
But Rick Carlisle right now is so prepared with that group, and he's got a guy in Halliburton that everybody hates, and I think Carlisle loves that.
So a couple things about Halliburton. Last night the Knicks had 17 assists and 17 turnovers. Halliburton had 15 assists and no turnovers.
Pretty good.
And to take that one step further, since they started keeping track of turnovers in 1977, before that they were like, I don't care. He is the first player in NBA playoff history with a 30-point game, 15-plus assists, and no turnovers.
Really?
Jeez, dude.
So, overrated my ass.
Yeah, I guess, you know, and I never said that about
him. You.
I was always like, I never understood it. And I still don't understand the overrated or the overhyped or whatever it is about him. Again, this is a guy who I thought was hilarious when he had his gold medal and was like, got an A, but didn't even contribute.
Yes.
And why did he contribute?
You would have thought everyone would love him for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he's got all these qualities, and I guess people just really hate this dude, though.
All right, I'm going to get y'all's picks in just a second. But first, are you prepared for perhaps the greatest quote you will hear all day? You know what? No, perhaps. This will be the greatest quote you hear all day.
All right.
Are you ready? I take you to Florida Panthers head coach Paul Maurice. Because, of course, it's going to be Paul Maurice. Because he says the best things. So, he was essentially asked, like, you see a player act one way on the ice and then another way off the ice, and it doesn't really make sense. He said, and the question was asked, does that make a player a phony or a hypocrite?
Okay.
Here's his response. Have you ever shotgunned a beer? Have you ever been to church? Would you shotgun a beer in church? Okay, that doesn't make you a hypocrite. There's a context and a place for all things. There's really, really nice people, and then the puck drops. Sometimes you say a prayer. Sometimes you shotgun a beer. That's kind of like our team.
Okay. Sometimes we're this, sometimes we're that.
That oddly made a lot of sense to me because I was like, I bet a lot of people have done both of those things. But you probably wouldn't shotgun a beer in church.
Although I am down in that wine, you know, when True. They're like, drink his blood. I'm like, I don't know. It tastes like wine to me. And
Absolutely.
I'm like, give me some more. And they're
yeah.
like, nope.
And then some of the churches, they have those tiny little juice packets that they give to you.
They have juice packets?
Yeah, it feels like we're spending too much money on
that. Stale crackers?
Yeah. I don't know what individualized juice packets cost.
With jam?
Yeah, feels inefficient. All right, that's the body of Christ. You watch it. All right, so there's that quote.
All right.
But it, as you could guess, it doesn't look great for any of the teams. That's why they're down 3-1. In the Panthers and Hurricanes series, it feels very much defined that the Panthers are better. You can make that argument with the Oilers Stars. Right now, it feels very much defined that the Oilers are better. Same with the Thunder. Same with the Pacers. I'll go with the Knicks just because I guess they have the best shot because, I don't know, I wanted to say maybe the Pacers aren't as definitively better, but you could probably argue they are definitively better.
The way they're playing
better.
Defense yeah. is phenomenal. The way that Oklahoma City is outscoring Minnesota is
they're definitely better than Minnesota.
Like they're
yeah.
not playing the like elite defense against them, but they're playing very good defense and you can't keep up with their offense. Like that's just the you just Shea is going to get his and then everybody else is playing very confidently for Oklahoma City right now and they can't find much offense elsewhere with Minnesota. They're struggling. And then the other night Anthony Edwards is like, I made all the right plays.
Yeah.
I passed the ball and it, I made all the right plays yeah. without calling his teammates out. He's like, I did what I was supposed to do. That's but because I didn't go force myself into the game, y'all are going to call me soft when I'm doing exactly what's being asked of me.
For whatever it's worth, the Stars right now are a slight favorite in game 5. So take that for whatever you want.
I'll take it.
Yeah,
I'll absolutely. Take that one today. And you know what? Saturday.
Look,
let's get some more.
You're so right about that. Because it's as simple as that. Win tomorrow night. And then our show Friday. Oh, it's back to 3-2.
Yeah.
You'd be back at home in game 7. Pete DeBoer never loses game 7. Even though that actually has no relevancy on this particular series. And you're like, if you could just find a way.
Just get to game 7.
Yeah, to play in game 6 like you did in elements of game 4. And they get Skinner to collapse. All of a sudden it's game 7. Like, we all talk ourselves into that. So even though it's 3-1, and I already see people texting in, said Oilers in 5, I just need that one win to Corey's point to convince me that the entire series has changed.
Yeah.
And we've got this.
Yeah, it'll make me feel confident that they figured something out. You know,
yes.
like that's, okay,
yes.
all right, so there was something that they couldn't figure out, and they found it, and they were able to turn it around in that one game, which makes me believe that Edmonton has no other adjustments and there's possible to win one more game after this. And then maybe if you win one more, you can win another one. Like all you got to do is win one first.
Yes.
Get a goal first.
Yes. 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 To all of that.
Score before them.
Do you think they can?
Oh, they cannot score before another team. That just it's against the rules. And if they score, they have to give up a penalty and be in the box and let the opponent have a power play.
It was that second Edmonton goal that was so defeating to me yesterday because you fought your way back. I thought you had outplayed Edmonton. You tied the game and you're like, now we're going to get the result we deserve. And then the Oilers scored again. And I was like,
dadgummit.
Just because this offense, unfortunately, like some other teams, this hasn't really looked great.
This hat that I'm wearing right now, Kevin, says dadgum on it. And whenever I was given this hat by my family for Father's Day, I was like, I don't say that often. And now I find myself saying dadgum a lot more than I ever did before. And I just said it now because I can't cuss on air.
Okay.
But no, when I say it, I want to.
Thank you. Very.
Dadgum it.
Thank you very much for that, Corey. That being said, do you think that Oklahoma City and Florida both close out their series?
I do. Yeah. I mean, Oklahoma City is the better team. Oklahoma City is the better basketball team right now. And I think that Carolina, like what has happened with them, I think, or Florida, I think they're going to be just fine.
Now, we're going to talk with Bruce Bochy in just a minute. But in the meantime, I know your answer is going to be that you would not have a $300,000 watch. Let's put that aside. I can accept that contention.
All right.
What do you think about being so confident that you would allow, let's say, four or five people to spin the roulette wheel, and if they got the number right, you would give them your $300,000 watch? Because that is exactly, get ready, this is our second sort of tennis story of the day. Alexander Zverev. He's the number three ranked tennis player.
Sounds like a fake name.
He has too many V's.
Very Aronev.
And so he's so confident that he joined TNT for the post-match. In the middle of the discussion, he says, one of the analysts said, I'm having trouble focusing because of your watch. And he's like, oh yeah, you like this watch?
You like my watch?
Yeah.
You like
$300,000. I'll give you a chance to win it. And you might be like, well, what the hell kind of sense does that make? So his fancy watch from Jacob and Company Casino Tourbillon, It has a functional roulette wheel on the base of the watch. So he said, pick a number. If your number hits, I will give you the watch.
Now, let's add to this. He told all the people on the stage that they could pick a number.
Yes.
So each one of the people, that's four people, I
correct,
believe, got a chance, correct, to pick a number, and they, any one of them could have won.
What would be your roulette number?
Five is always what I do. But also 22 for Emmett Smith.
Ooh, I think I would say 21.
But I'm going with five.
The ones they picked were 8, 12, 21, and 33.
All right. Which... dude, having a watch with a little roulette wheel on it is awesome enough.
Yes.
So that is actually a problem, Kevin, because I feel like I'm walking around gambling all the time. I'm just always constantly like, hey, you want to pick a number? If you get it right, you owe me, you can get $10. If you get it wrong, you owe me $10.
Well, you know
and
what?
I'm just sitting there playing with my hand all day.
What the hell?
Well, how else am I supposed to flip the thing for the roulette wheel?
Corey, you know what? I got great news for you. With if you have a $300,000 watch, you're probably not going to be hurting too much from giving out $10
right.
bills
$10
all day.
Bets aren't it. I'm going with $100,000 bets. Good point.
All right. So this is a sentence I never really thought I would say. So he spun the roulette wheel on his watch after winning at the French Open. Mm-hmm. Those are all things that actually happened. And the number that came up, it was 4.
Oh.
Which meant none of the people got the watch. Do you think he would have just handed it over?
I chose five and he chose 4.
Do you think he really would have been like, a deal's a deal?
I don't know,
dude.
I don't know. Like, the watch itself is cool.
That's a sponsor watch he got for free, right?
Probably so.
Okay.
Some Jacob was like, hey, let me throw this watch your way. You wear it around and then bring it back. And he was like, what if I don't bring it back? Or what if, Kevin, it's rigged? What if inside of his roulette wheel, he knows that it's going to land on a certain number every time based on what time it is or something? I don't know how it works.
Oh.
But he knows that he'll never. So he's always playing that game with people, which is why he didn't ask anything in return. He was just like, you could win it. but you won't because this thing is rigged.
And you know what? Honestly, for the business, I bet that they would have loved it if one of those people for Jacob and company.
Oh my gosh.
Like, your ads are done. Like, one of those TNT people would have definitely been like, hey, I want it, but you should buy it because yes. It's the best. Yeah, like that would be
and that little video right there. You play it. I would put that in my ad. The video of him losing the watch, a watch everybody wants.
Absolutely. Real quick, Alec, if you can you go ahead and give me cut number 12? Because it happened. The Wings won, and we need to talk about the WNBA.
Page with the block. Leading the break, Arike to Beckers.
She didn't have That's to do all of that, man.
So the Dallas Wings were victorious 109-87 over the Connecticut Sun. I believe this is one of the few games in WNBA history where the two teams were both 0-4 or worse.
Oh, really?
So you played probably the worst team in the league, certainly one of the worst teams in the league. But well, you know what? Them. You, yeah, that's right.
You beat them, and you beat them handily, too.
Defeated them 109-87. So are you more excited for this, Corey? Are you more excited for the Dallas Wings' first victory of the season? Or are you more excited for our buddy Paige Beckers? She became the first player in WNBA history with at least 60 points and 30 assists total through her first five games.
She looked a lot more comfortable last night, too, shooting offensively, knowing, like, I can do what I want when I want to, as opposed to deferring to other people. But she also looked like she was very good, and which she is, at integrating the rest of the team in this game. And so last night, as she was getting hers, you know, her little elbow jumper is so nice to watch. It's a lot of fun, but it looked like one of those games that whenever they got a lead and got out in front of it, I think the halftime note from Paige was the standard is to continue, not to just settle for what we did in one half. The standard is now to go to the next level with it.
Next game, they'll be on the road tomorrow against the Chicago Sky, which I do believe means some Angel Reese. All right. We're trying to connect with Bochy. Hopefully that will happen in a few minutes. But in the meantime, I got a basketball question for you guys.
All right.
Could any of these names be the stopgap point guard for the Mavericks? All right. So you need a stopgap point guard because Kyrie is not coming back until at least January.
All right.
So they say. And so Mark Stein had thrown out that the Mavericks were interested in Drew Holiday. Another person whose names come up a lot is Lonzo Ball. And then you saw yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, that the Spurs said, yeah, we're not going to bring back Chris Paul. And so I present those three players, Chris Paul, Lonzo Ball, and Drew Holiday, all of which come with their own set of complications. Would any of those players work for your stopgap point guard? Otherwise, I mean, you could figure it out whether it's Williams and Dinwiddie, or you could go a couple of different ways.
So the Drew Holiday thing, my understanding, it looked like it's going to cost you Gafford and a couple of other, like maybe Klay Thompson, which I'm not really willing to give up Gafford.
Well, and can I tell you the reason why that is?
I love Drew Holiday.
Is because of the money.
I get it.
And so 3 years, $104 million left on his deal.
Now, I completely understand that. I like Gafford, though, because of the pair.
For sure.
The pair together works. I love Drew Holiday as a great defensive point guard, too, for you, if that's what you're going to squeeze him into that role. Chris Paul, I can't believe, like, I'm starting to try and go, you know what, maybe this could work. But isn't he the dude, like, once he gets on a team, not that people hate him, but he barks so much that you're just like, whatever, dude. Doesn't he wear on people after a minute?
I agree. Sometimes that could be what a team needs. This is also a far diminished Chris Paul, which you probably could have guessed. He just turned 40.
He's still a good
distributor, though.
He would be okay Jason Kidd to do Jason Kidd's thing where he's like, hey, look, remember my end of my career? And I was basically just a three-point shooter that played good defense and also was really good at distributing, but I didn't really do anything else. You need to do that here. And I think he could. I think Chris Paul could be that guy for it. And it's weird. It's weird that my brain is like, I would like Chris Paul on this team. I mean, I can't believe it.
Because I don't imagine he's going to cost much. He's not going to cost any other assets. That's one of the things, because with Lonzo Ball, even though he played this year 35 games, first time in a couple of seasons that he had played, but those are the only games he's played since the end of the 2022 season. So not a lot, but he is still under contract with the Bulls for $10 million. So I don't know how expensive that would actually be in terms of assets. Drew Holiday, you just laid it out, would be more expensive in terms of the assets. And then for Chris Paul, he wouldn't cost you anything asset-wise, and I don't think he would cost a lot monetarily.
And he is with Clutch Sports, which seems to be who Nico likes doing negotiations with. So I wonder how, if that has anything to do with it, if he's like, hey, I can get him for a reasonable price. And add this point guard until our Kyrie comes back.
And can I just share in the Mavericks vein my sports nightmare that has happened in my head over and over again? Multiple people. I wanted Chris Paul for Luka. I wouldn't mind getting him to help out Cooper Flagg from the 972. It's not ideal to develop his game, but what if Cooper Flagg initiated the offense? Technically, tonight, players have until 10:59 p.m. Central to withdraw from the draft.
What are you doing right now?
NBA draft. Because...
No, what are you doing right now?
Because everything has gone up against the Mavericks this year except for winning the lottery. I keep having this terrible, awful, no good fear. It's not based on any actual intel.
No, you last week you got every single one of the teases right on your predictions. So whatever fear you're having right now, I'm feeling like it might be right.
What if he was just like, you know what? I'm going to wait one more year. That would be a level that I feel like a lot of Mavs fans could be like, all right, so
that would be
the
it.
Sports gods have decided they're just against us. They're like, you don't get bailed out from the Luka trade.
I would have to say, Kevin, at that point, I might have to go ahead and pick another team. Because the reality is, I mean, the sports gods are just saying it. Team players don't want to come to Dallas, was what it would be telling me.
I would agree with you if that was the case.
We lived through it so much that we thought Luka was going to be the savior for that. And yeah. Guess what? Klay showed up. Other people were here. We were like, look at this. We finally got a star that people want to play with. And then we traded him. And then we finally get the opportunity to get the number one overall pick. And he's like, I don't want to play there.
All right, I will tell you this. If that happens, which I don't think it will, I think you've probably described the situation very well. With a KNC masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now, brought to you by National Car Rental. Whether you're on the mound, at the plate, or on the road, National Car Rental invites you to stop waiting and start winning. Book like a winner today. And Olshan, we bring you Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Sorry, guys. How we doing?
Good. We're good. We're good. And first, I have a kind of a playoff question for you. The Stars are currently down 3-1 in their series. Do you have any advice for coming back from a 3-1 deficit in the playoffs?
You know what? Never say die. That's the thing, you know. Never give in or let down. That's, you know, the best advice I would give. It's one win just changes everything. And, you win the next game, now the pressure kind of falls on the other side. And so that's all it takes right now is just find a way to win one more game, get the momentum swinging your way. And it's amazing how quick things can change.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
I've been down 3-1 before,
yep.
And
yep.
Had win a game, and that boy, I tell you what, what it does, for those players and for the other team. Now they're going, oh no, the momentum has swung. So, yeah. It's been down a lot of times.
Yeah, and it sounds like you never looked at it this way. But how difficult is it to block out of your mind it's 3-1 and think, well, let's just win today. And then not worry about, we'll deal with tomorrow.
Well, I think it's easy. It's having an attitude. I'm not ready to go home. I don't want to go home. It's a do or die game. So, I mean, you're going to leave everything out there. So, and then you worry about the next day. When you get to that elimination game, it as a club. And so, you're kind of going against all odds now, so you can let it go and really play with the freedom that you probably didn't have the earlier part of the playoffs.
Yeah, that's it. That's that feeling of sometimes being a little too tight. And you've talked about this with your guys a little bit, some of the guys up at the plate that sometimes they're just a little too tense and trying to do too much, not playing within themselves. And it is kind of a, when you're down like that, you're like, what else do I have to lose? Right. Like maybe there's nothing, right?
Well, you want it at some point. I think players kind of have that attitude. Hey, I'm overworking or it's, I've created tension or I've lost that confidence. And that's what I see with some of our guys, that the confidence goes when you're not having success. Now you're battling yourself along with you're trying to beat that pitcher. And it's hard enough to beat just a pitcher. So, yeah, it's getting that mojo, that confidence back, and that takes success. And we're definitely going through it. I mean, we're a better offensive team than this. We know that, and it's going to come around. But we just got to get guys going up there with some swagger, guys that, hit their little skids, whatever. The good ones figure a way to come out of it. And these guys are good players, and they'll figure a way.
Yeah, I was kind of getting that tense feeling last night running the eighth inning when Josh Smith had that out at second base, or he was out at first, but he hit it to the second baseman. And then y'all cracked that open. Did it feel like y'all kind of cracked something open last night whenever you got those couple runs? And how nice does it feel to get those two runs that late in the game?
Yeah. I mean, for us to get a big two-out, two-strike hit like that, that's what we've been missing as much as anything. I mean, the game before, we had first and second, and we couldn't get that hit. And sometimes that gets you going. What a great at-bat by J.J. From Young, really, it was set up nicely, and Haggerty goes in there. He didn't hesitate. He took second right away, and it's just playing to win, and that's kind of where you want these guys, playing for each other, playing to win. And but JJ, he just walked up there. He just had a look about him that I loved. Okay, they walked wide intentionally to get to him, and he just threw out a beautiful at bat there.
I know you were talking just a second ago about the team in general and things coming around, and I understand that Marcus Semien has come through for you guys plenty of times, won a World Series for this franchise. Do you still believe in Marcus Semien's ability to hit at a very high level?
Oh, I do. I do. One thing I would never rule out is a great player, when he is having a tough time. I would never rule them out bouncing back. And you see in baseball, in our game, you see it a lot. Players that, they're comeback player of the year. And those are guys that find a way to come back and play the type of game that they're capable of playing. And there's guys this year. In fact, we were talking about one player, Goldschmidt. He's hit 345. It's just sometimes you think, okay, they're done. But I would never count out a great player. And to me, Marcus is a great player. And I love what he's doing at second base. How about the plays he made yesterday? He's still saving his runs. He's not letting that affect him. This guy's a pro, and believe me, there's nobody working harder right now.
Was he? I take it he was probably pretty open to the lineup adjustments for him and stuff too.
Yeah. You know what? He sees what's going on, where he's at. He knows he's not swinging the bat like he normally does. He's a smart. He's a really smart guy, and so he's fine with it. Nobody's gonna be happy with it, but you know what I mean? He understands. And he gets it. And he says, I'll be back. And he will be, hitting in another part of the order before the season's over. I promise you.
The Robert Garcia, the way he ended the game last night, like that looks like a lot of fun. Just seeing the guys with their energy after a strikeout like that. What does a final out like that do for your clubhouse? Are you hoping that it catches fire in there?
Yeah. And we talk about this a lot when we win a game. And, yeah, we still trying to get on that roll, which we did not too long ago.
Yeah.
Rolled off six straight, and Robert's a guy that, you know, he pitches with, you know, a lot of fire, and he has a lot of emotion in his game, and that's, you know, that was great to see. And you know, things like that do fire up the players, because we've had a tough stretch and offensive rut here. So no, it was a good one for the boys, believe me, because, you know, we had a great pitching effort the day before. We couldn't find a way to win that game, you know, being at home, and then today to pull that out, or yesterday with what happened, having to take your starter out after two,
right,
your guy, Evo, and boy, what a just a heroic effort by the bullpen. So no, huge win.
What is the I heard a lot that hopefully it's just precautionary. How does Evaldi look today?
You know what? Haven't talked to him today. He's not here yet, but I'll get with he and our trainer, Lucky, and we'll see why all of us will huddle up and kind of see where we're at. Not overly concerned. We were being cautious yesterday. He could have gone back out there, wanted to go back out there, but we got to take care of these guys. You know, we plan on getting, you know, find a way to get to the postseason, and so we got to have our horses you know, healthy and ready.
Okay, with that in mind, and I'm really glad that you brought that up, because we were talking yesterday. Obviously, the starting pitching staff has been freaking phenomenal this year, but you look at the projected innings pace that they're on, whether it's Evaldi, DeGrom, Malley, will you find yourself in a situation over the next couple of months where you might just skip some starts for non-health-related reasons in the hopes that they'll still be ready to rock in September and October?
Yeah, sure. You can see that. You may see it soon where we push guys back. You know, yeah, you kind of look at them where they're at and make adjustments with Evo. That's why we took him out after two innings yesterday. We may move him back. We'll see where we're at there. Jacob is one I think we have to talk about because of the time he's missed. So, you know, we don't want to log too many innings on him this year. So, you know, you can see something like that happen, sure.
Coach, how often do you think going forward you're going to use the word bussing in a social setting?
Yeah, we were having fun with that. We were talking about it pregame. I said, I'm going to throw some of these words out there. A couple of them I didn't use, but yeah, so we had fun with that. I had a couple of texts going, what are you talking about? And then I had a couple say, hey, man, you nailed it on how you use bussing.
I was wondering which reporter probably looked the most lost when you said it. I was betting on Evan.
It was Evan.
Yeah, it was probably Evan. Is it, we were thinking here.
Yeah, Evan wasn't here, so
okay. Gotcha. He missed it. That. Do you have any thoughts, excitement for Corey Seager and him coming back here?
Yeah, it's always good to have your guy back. You know your shortstop. Although he's going to DH today. Yeah, well, we miss him. You're looking at one of the best hitters in the game, and so it's going to be, I think, a shot in the arm for everybody. The offense. You know, see him out there swinging the bat or playing short. Yeah, that's one thing we need to get full strength. You know, we're missing some guys. Carter, we had trouble keeping him healthy. He's going to start a rehab soon. Peterson's starting to pick it up. But, you know, at this point, we thought all three of those would be in the lineup. And that balances out our lineup a little bit better, but it's starting to happen now.
Now, you had said a couple of weeks ago when you talked about with Corey Seager, one of the reasons that he might go on the IL as well was to make sure that y'all could, quote, nip it in the bud. I know you can't control what the future is, but do you think that the team and that Corey Seager have done everything possible to hopefully see that this is not an issue going forward?
Yeah. We've had some tests done. I think we checked off every box with Corey, and So we're making adjustments now with, his workout routine. Corey's all in on this. Before today, we had a couple games where he took, hit off live pitching. We tried to simulate games where he went out to shortstop, took ground balls, came back, and then would hit and go back out. So he did that 3 or 4 times. And so anyway, yeah, we're making adjustments there and to see, if we can take care of this thing and keep them out on the field.
Just a few minutes ago, you were talking about like the fire and passion that some players have. Obviously, Robert Garcia with that strikeout. I know it's a small sample size, but what about the fire and passion that Alejandro Osuna brings to this team and hopefully to the lineup? That's our guy. We love him.
Yeah, we all do. We all do. Players do. Yeah, he's got a lot of energy. Young kid that he loves baseball, and that's how he plays it. You can see the passion come out when he plays it. His first game, he was in smiling. He wasn't nervous or anything. He was just looking forward to it. Of course, growing up in the game, we're being around it because of his brother. Yeah, I'm sure that played a part in it. But anyway, I love that. And, you see with a lot of players, I think especially Latin players, they just, play the game, like they did when they were young in their country. And that's what you love about them.
Excellent stuff. Appreciate it very much. Let's get that winning streak going.
All right, guys. Great talking with you. Sorry about being late.
Oh, no worries. Yes, man.
There you go.
What did you say? I said, yes, man.
Okay.
Yeah, go get Rangers.
All right. There you go. Bruce Bochy right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got the C block coming up in just a minute, but I feel like...
Let's give something away! Stick figure!
877-881-1053. Caller number 10 now will win a pair of tickets to go see Stick Figure at the Dos Equis Pavilion on June 27th. Perhaps also a hand-drawn stick figure from Corey. Can't promise that last part, but you can win. Caller 10, 877-881-1053.
We got to finish our list, Kevin, all-century, quarter-century Rangers, but I got a lot more. So you know what? You need to stick around for the C-block next on The Fan.